Well, Rick, welcome to Reels and Rounds again.
Hey, Randy, it's always good to talk to you. Thanks for having me on tonight.
Yeah, no problem. You know, several years ago when I was on the radio show in Bend at KBND, the talk radio show there, I had you on and interviewed you about your guide service. And I'm really interested always to talk to people that have interests that are outside of kind of the mainstream. And you go after trophy trout. And through the years, I have heard about you from here and there. And when we came back together and met last or 2 years ago at the Sportsman Show in Portland, you really have grown to quite a following in the trophy trout, lake trout type fishing. And why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about what brought you to Central Oregon and why you love lake trout fishing so much?
Sure. You know, I'll even back up further back to say that, you know, fishing in my life has sort of been an evolution in that, and this fits, I think, for a lot of people. You start out wanting to catch a fish, right, in the beginning. Then usually the progression is, ooh, I want to catch a lot of fish. You
right.
go for the limit. And then ultimately, I think, for some of us, you end up wanting to get those trophies. You want to get the big fish. And I think everybody who fishes is somewhat attracted to landing the lunker. And for me, the turn came about early 80s. Kind of had hit the wall early in my life with some personal difficulties that a lot of us face. And I was in a rebuilding process in my life, and I had decided that I was gonna pursue brown trout. And I was sort of hanging around a group down there in California, some guys called Brown Baggers, that kind of inspired me. You had to get two brown trout over 10 pounds to get into this club.
Huh.
And so that was the start of the trek for me, so to speak. So I was fishing quite a bit down in California and with limited success. And I think my first decent brown came in 1990, and it was a 9-pounder, and I was just thrilled. I thought I had a 10-pounder on for sure, and you know how those things go. Oh, it turned out to be 9 pounds when you get it on the scale, but still just totally thrilled. It was about a 28-inch hook jaw brown, beautiful fish, and
wow.
Of course my feet didn't touch the ground for the next day even.
Right.
But anyway, so that was sort of the start, and then I ended up ultimately moving to Central Oregon in 1995 just my wife and I decided we wanted to go live someplace we wanted to live instead of having been a native Californian, spent all my life down there. I was looking for somewhere else to relocate that had country and scenery like Central Oregon.
Right.
And of course the main thing is the fishing, as I describe Central Oregon, the Bend area. It's a kind of a trophy trout capital of the Western United States if you wanted to add up the size of the different species of trout in state records here. It's phenomenal. Oh yeah, I mean I love it up here. Right now we're in fall. Colors are coming on. We're getting the golds and the oranges. And you know, I never grew up to seasonal changes. When you live in Southern California, you don't have seasonal changes.
Right.
So I'm still pretty excited about how the seasons change up here, even after 10 years. And I really enjoy that aspect of it. I'm not much of a winter person, so I don't do any winter sports, but I chase the bull trout up at Billy Chinook in the winter, so I even get my fishing in through the winter up here.
Right.
Which,
well, now
we're fortunate to have.
Now, Rick, tell me. I mean, I'm getting the feeling then that trophy trout fishing, it's not necessarily for the guy that wants to bring it home for dinner. These are your clientele is a specific clientele that is looking for the mount. Is that correct?
You know, I assumed that would maybe be the case, and actually what it's turned out to be is that people want to get out there, and sure, the majority of people would love to catch a big fish, and if you know, and maybe have somewhat of a reputation for doing that, but I jokingly tell people this, Do you play the lottery? Have you won yet? And I'm making the comparison to say, to go out and hook and land a 10-pound brown is probably comparable to winning the lottery.
Right.
And people often think that it's, you know, they see these pictures, they know that there's fish caught with regularity, but it is such a small percentage, and there's so many things that have to line up for you for that to happen. And so actually my guiding has turned into more I do get my share of nice fish, trophy fish, a lot of 5-pound and up trout. Hmm. But I'm trying to provide an overall excellent fishing experience for whoever gets in the boat, be it 70-year-olds down to 20-year-olds, and get them into fish and make the experience as enjoyable as possible.
So,
of course, I focus on the big trout, but sometimes good numbers tend to be a pretty good day. No one can guarantee big trout consistently. It's just a pretty tough drill.
Right. And you know, you're looking at your website. I mean, it just seems like you're telling me a lie. I mean, there's some beautiful pictures on that website. But how often are your clients looking for, is it more, the clients, are they more looking for a pleasure trip, going out to fish, catch some fish, or do a lot of them come to you and say, Rick, you know, I really want to learn how to fish this lake, give me your techniques? What would you say your clientele is made more up of, the guys that are looking for the technical or the pleasure fishing trip?
I think it's probably 80% wanting to have a good time, enjoy the day, catch some fish, and of course they'd like to get a big one, versus 20% that want to, I have people sit there and we'll talk and they'll take notes, or they'll bring books into the boat and ask questions about things they've read. And so it's about an 80-20 split, I'd say, between an overall enjoying experience versus picking up tips, really, really more trophy-oriented anglers that are really going for trying to get an upper hand.
Yeah. So, but there's lakes to pick from. How do your clients, when they contact you, do they specifically say, I want this kind of fish, I want a brown, or I want to go fish at Billy Chinook, or are they just leaving it up to you to take them on a great fishing trip?
Well, you know, something that you and I hadn't discussed in detail prior to this, but this would be probably a revelation for you as well.
Okay.
But what I'm doing right now is I have my guide license, and Billy Chinook, Lake Billy Chinook, is basically an open system, and you don't have to have a Forest Service permit, whereas in the rest of Deschutes National Forest up here, you do. And those permits, there's only 7 existing full permits up here, and they are owned by various fly fishing guides and some regular trolling type anglers like what I do as well. Those only change hands when one of those guys wants to sell their business. So that's your access to all lakes in the area.
Wow.
So my guiding at this point is confined to Lake Billy Chinook, which I fish through the winter and through the spring up until about May. Then I'm also working under Polina Lake Resort under their special use permit. And then also the same arrangement goes on with East Lake. And so I am working those 2 lakes up in the creek primarily for brown trout, and I also do kokanee trips because kokanee fishing is so good on both of those lakes.
Right.
And sometimes I end up taking families out to get limits of kokanee. So that's the scope of where I'm guiding right now, and I'm saying this because I don't want to give the false impression that I can just take anybody anywhere, because you can't over in the Deschutes National Forest. You have to either have one of the full permits or you're working under one of the resorts as a subcontractor, and that's the case for me.
Right. Now, when we talked before, years ago, you were really doing a lot of fishing down at the lake below Pelton Dam there.
Simtestus.
Yeah, Simtestus, thanks. Is that one closed now to you also, or?
You know, I probably can guide up there if I want to, but the dynamics of that reservoir changed, as often goes on. If you live long enough, you see see cycles in life anyway, and you also see them in nature, and you see them in fisheries as well. The Fish and Game used to stock brown trout in that system. Brown trout, of course, were the big draw to me, and that's what I like pursuing. When I first fished it, they were still being planted in there, and they were attaining good size, and there were pretty good numbers of them. And it's a real unique fishery because it's a tail race fishery below the dam. And, you know, it's 300-400-foot cliffs down there, and it's not very wide. And there's certain areas in there that we had done pretty well trolling those shorelines.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's happened is because of politics to some degree and some strategy changes in the Fish and Wildlife overall plan, they quit stocking brown trout in there in the between 96 and 98, I think. And it sort of changed the dynamics. So the brown trout were not as available as they used to be and ended up being kind of the big draw. And, of course, that lake also produces giant rainbows, which I don't know too many people know that, but there's second biggest rainbow in the state of Oregon was caught out of there that was a 24-pound rainbow.
Wow.
And,
wow.
But those are hard to come by, very hard. In fact, I think a 9-pounder was the biggest I ever caught while fishing for the browns in there. So Septustis was one of my favorites, and I don't fish as much anymore because there's not many browns left in there of any size.
Yeah. Now you were mentioning Palina East and Billy Chinook. Palina is so cold. Is that, I mean, Septustis and Billy Chinook are so different than the water temperature up in Palina. What is it about that water, that cold water, that produces such huge fish, or is it just the fishery itself?
You know, I've thought about that, talked about it with a lot of different people. I think the dynamics of Palina is that there's been brown trout stocked in there for years, where there's not minimal natural reproduction, if any, so they're all introduced. It's got tui chub, which is a favorite forage fish of brown trout, and it's got kokanee, which is another excellent forage fish for brown trout. And, you know, it's just sort of a magical combination. It doesn't have a lot of shallows. It rolls off pretty quickly. And browns have air bladders to a lesser degree than lake trout, but they have them, so they can adjust from depths at over 100 feet clear on up to the surface. So they're not bothered too much. I mean, there's plenty of guys that go up there and fish for them,
right.
and there's, you know, monster fish come out of there most years. There'll be a brown or two over 20 pounds and maybe a list of it or 10. Wasn't the case this year, but that thing cycles, and I expect they will be showing up again. But it just turned out to be a lake that produces more big browns over 20 pounds than any lake out west here at all.
Wow. Now do you release most of the browns that you catch?
Yeah, I release about probably 99%. I'm only going to keep an occasional trophy fish, I wouldn't even keep a big brown just to eat it ever. In fact, if we're going to keep some, you want to eat some fish. Usually, this is true in most fish, you're going to eat the trout, the 2-3 pounders are the best eating size,
right.
I've found.
So right, right.
I occasionally will keep one of those, but rarely. I like to let most of those browns go.
Right, and you want to get them bigger, and you want to get that fishery bigger, and you want other people to enjoy it.
You
right?
bet. You get those pounders. A lot of guys couldn't do it, but it's really important to put those back.
Right. Well,
they're going to be the 12 or 14s in a couple of years.
Exactly. Now, you know, I always heard Wickiup was the big brown trout lake in Central Oregon, and I never really hear you talk about it. What is it about Wickiup? Is that under that use permit also?
Yes, it is. In fact, I would like to be able to guide out on Wickiup, and I've had some success on Wickiup. Of course, my biggest brown that was caught back in '99 was a 19.5-pound female that I caught up in the Deschutes arm. And then a couple years after that, I caught and released a 12-pound brown, and I've caught quite a few 5 to 9.5-pound browns out of there as well. And it is a terrific brown trout fishery, but it has been in a slump for the last 3 or 4 years now due to the drought that we are experiencing here in Central Oregon, or actually out west. It's not just a local phenomena. And then they had sort of a collapse in the kokanee fishery a few years back. And of course, if you mess with their forage numbers, then it has an impact on the predators as well. And the tui chub numbers didn't seem to be as prevalent as they were in years past. So, and once again, you're getting into a cycling. And as I looked back over the history of Wickiup, that goes all the way back to the late 30s when it was built as an irrigation and flood control reservoir, you go through these cycles every so many years, and then things rebuild. And actually, Wickiup is on the way back. It was really good this year, and I didn't talk much about it because I kind of wanted to keep it to myself.
Mm-hmm. Now,
there were several big browns caught out of there this year, including a 23-pounder. Man. Wickiup outproduced Palina this year by quite a bit for browns over 10 pounds.